That be known by uplifted hand. And all opposed, like sign. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter number 1. And I appreciate your good attention. And it's a little bit longer than usual on our business part. But that's something really important we need to take care of. So I appreciate your good attention there. And I will try to take that all into consideration as far as our lesson tonight. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And it's already 7:45. And I'll try to, we'll say 15 after somewhere. Try not to be too much longer than usual. But try to take into account the time and everything. But I want us to read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Is this thing working, Adam? The mic? Because I reached down and it had come apart, but I tried to put it back together. So we started a study two Wednesday nights ago. I think it's when it was now. On 7 Foundations for Healthy Living. That was the title of our lesson. And we gave those 7 foundations quickly. And so I want to begin tonight in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and we'll read that. The Bible said, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day." Now, if you were not here a couple of weeks ago for the introduction, you would wonder, what in the world has that got to do with healthy living? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. And see what that's got to do with healthy living. But I would say most people's idea, if you mention, well, we're going to study what the Bible says about your health. Most people out here in the world, most people in churches, they would have a very limited idea of what it means to be healthy. I think most people would probably say, well, all you're going to talk about is diet and exercise, and that's about the extent of it. But that is not the extent of it. Or somebody might say, well, wash your hands real good. That's the number one way to prevent colds and flu. That'll help keep you healthy. Or somebody might say, well, get a physical every year and get your health checked out or something like that. But there's millions of contributing factors to us being here tonight that most of the time we don't think anything about. I guarantee you, every one of us this week, whether we thought about it or not, you may have woke up one morning and you sort of got the sniffles and you said, boy, I hope I'm not getting a cold. Well, if your immune system is working right, it fought off what was attacking you, and instead of getting sick, you just got better through that. Your body worked. I mean, there's millions of things, and it's easy to say millions because germs are microscopic and there's millions of them and we're surrounded by them. But there's a lot of things has to happen in order for us to say, well, we're healthy or we're sick. You get energy that's derived from food and water. And if everything didn't work right in your body, you wouldn't have enough. You couldn't go. I mean, there's a lot of things goes into us saying or talking about being healthy. Lots of things. You may not have thought about it, but today the ozone layer was working, and because it was working, nobody was burned up by radiation from the sun. Do you know if the ozone layer wasn't there, you'd be burned up with the sun's radiation. None of us would live through a day. And so there's a lot of things that contributes to our health, and that comes under the heading of our first thing that we looked at, the 7 foundations for healthy living. When we started out last time, we said, number one, what everybody needs first, they need air. And we read Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. We'll look over there again. You need air. The Bible said, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And from that point forward, Adam became dependent upon the firmament. What we read about in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Adam was dependent upon the firmament which God had created on the second day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." And so we're going to look at this thing the Bible calls the firmament tonight. Now I got a real blessing out of studying this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. But Adam was dependent upon what God had already provided when he created the firmament on the second day. Now the word firmament, we don't use that word all the time. It's used 17 times in the Bible. It's used 9 times right here in this passage of Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 20. You find the word firmament 9 times, 2 times in the book of Psalms, 5 times in the book of Ezekiel, and 1 time in the book of Daniel. And the Hebrew word firmament, it means expanse. It means, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it means the visible arc of the sky. It is in the Bible, all things heaven is the word firmament. Where the birds fly, where the astronauts fly, and even where the angels fly, God called all of that heaven. Now we realize there's a distinction in the Bible, but the generic word is firmament for the heaven. Now in Genesis chapter 1 verse 20, the firmament that we're going to be looking at tonight is very specific in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible said, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl," that's birds, "fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." That is our air. That's our atmosphere. That's where the birds fly. And so that's the firmament that we're talking about, the air, the atmosphere that is around us. Now, I want you to look over, keep your place here, but look in Psalms chapter 19. We find this word firmament over there. Psalms chapter number 19. And we're just going to read one verse over there. And maybe you already know what verse it is. Maybe you've got it memorized. It's very common passage of Scripture, but usually we focus on the first part of it. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." I've preached on that and pointed that out many times. Go outside tonight if it's clear, look up at the stars. Isn't that a blessing? See the stars, see the things that God has made. It declares, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." The firmament, the atmosphere around us, the air around us, showeth his handiwork, is what the Bible says. Now, when we think about handiwork, we're talking about the intimate details of something. Somebody might make a quilt. You know, Sister Ella May, every time we go to see her, she's talking about quilting and the quilts that she's made down through the years. And you notice somebody that really does a good job quilting, and that's their handiwork. And there's a lot of little details that if you didn't know what went into that, you might not appreciate the handiwork on something that is done like that. So the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the atmosphere, something that really we cannot see, but it shows the handiwork of God, the little details And that's what I've gotten a blessing out of as I've studied this. Look over in Psalms 139, and we'll read a verse, a passage of Scripture over there. Psalms 139 and verse number 14. Psalms 139, David's talking about being created by the Lord. And in Psalms 139, verse number 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He's talking about being made. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, tonight, you and I are made. God made us. God created us. God created everything about us. And it takes more faith to believe that we are the result of a big bang than it does to see the handiwork of God. You get seeing the intimate details of our universe and our earth and our bodies, and what a great blessing it is to see the handiwork of God. You talk about really being able to worship the Lord. If we could just get a glimpse of His greatness, our Creator, and His handiwork. Now, on the second day, God made the firmament, the air, the atmosphere, and of all the places, of all the planets in the universe, our earth is unique in that this is the only place in the whole universe that can sustain life. NASA has looked out into the universe, and they've not even touched the hem of the garment. The galaxies, the outer space, and all that is so vast. There's no searching all of it out, but they're searching for. Was there water on Mars? Maybe there was life on Mars once upon a time. I could save them a whole lot of money and tell them no. No, there's no life on Mars or Venus or Pluto or Saturn or any of the planets, but our earth is so unique. God made the earth to sustain life. Man, the animals, the sea creatures, the birds, the fowls, all of these things. Our earth has a climate. It has an environment that sustains us. And it is because of the firmament round about us. And I was reading a book, and it made a statement in it. It said 96% of the nutritional need of the body is in the air we breathe. 96% of the nutritional value of the body is in the air we breathe. Now, when I read that, I thought, that's just hard to believe. You would think that you would get most of your nutritional value from your food that you eat and the water that you drink. But then the more you think about it, if you think about it like this, think about how much you breathe compared to how much you eat or drink. And if you take that into consideration, you do a whole lot more breathing than you do eating or drinking anything. Sometimes we might say, you know, you have a day like today where it snowed all day and a lot of people stayed inside, or maybe over Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that. And somebody might say, whew, I'm stuffed. All I did today, I ate all day long. You know what? That's an exaggeration. Nobody ate all day long. But I'll tell you what you did do all day long. You breathed all day long. And you didn't drink anything all day long, but you breathe all day long. You breathe all night long. And if you wasn't breathing, you wouldn't be here. Breathing is a blessing. You can just do all the breathing you want to. You'll never gain an ounce. You cannot overdo it, as far as I know. I don't think you can breathe too much. Nobody's going to get on to you. It's free. It doesn't cost anything like going to the grocery store or something like that. And so breathing, what a blessing that is. Nobody walks into the kitchen like Kim does me sometimes. She never walks in and says, there you are breathing again. She might walk in and say, there you are eating again. But she doesn't walk in and say, well, there you are breathing again. While we all breathe, we're breathing all the time. And the breathing all the time that we do, what a blessing it is. But I dare say many of us ever really think very much about it. But breathing, the air, God made it. We have to have it in order to be healthy. Now, I'm going to give you something tonight. And this is called a mnemonic. Mnemonic. And it's spelled funny. It's with a M. M-N-E-M-O-N-I-C. And all that is a memory aid, a way to remember something. I learned something as I was studying about this, and I learned some things about our atmosphere. Now, if I was a science teacher and I was teaching young people about our atmosphere, I could hold up my hand and I could tell them what our atmosphere is made up of. The air that we breathe is four parts nitrogen. You got four fingers. It's four parts nitrogen, and it's one part oxygen. And that's how to teach somebody about our atmosphere and the air that we breathe. And so it's four parts nitrogen, one part, that's your thumb, oxygen. And then if you were to take the very tip of your pinky, not even your whole fingernail, but just the top of your pinky, there is a 1% up there that has all the other trace elements in it. There are things in our air such as argon, carbon dioxide, neon, helium, methane, krypton, hydrogen, nitrous oxide, carbon monoxide, xenon, ozone, nitrogen dioxide, iodine, and ammonia. All those things are in the air that we breathe. But the 4-to-1, the nitrogen, the oxygen, it's actually 78.1% nitrogen and 20.9% oxygen. And then that other small percentage is all those other things that is in the air that we breathe. And if you could take the very tip of your big finger, just the very tip of it, there's the right amount of water vapor. You have to have that. We know how that is sometimes in your house. You get real dry, especially if you've got a dry heat and you've got to add some humidity back into it. We have to have that in order to be healthy and function properly. So it's amazing all the things that are in the air that we breathe. Now, there is a field of study. It's the science of breathing. We know our world studies everything. But there's something called cellular respiration I got to studying about. It has to do with our breathing that we do. It's called cellular respiration. Now, here's a long definition. It probably won't mean anything to you. But I'm going to explain what happens. It is the set of the metabolic reactions and processes that take place in the cells of organisms to convert biochemical energy from nutrients into adenosine triphosphate. That's called ATP. It's what that's called. Cellular respiration converts the cells of organisms into ATP and then release waste products. And so, praise the Lord, isn't that a blessing? Do you know that? Do you know all that? You don't have to act like you know what that was. I've read and read it. But what it is, What that means is how you and I get energy to do anything. You cannot get energy to do anything without breathing. Now, ATPs, you might have heard that because Gatorade, Powerade, all these drinks that talk about replenishing your electrolytes and I've got an energy drink at the house. And as I was studying this, I'd read the label before I was studying this, and the label on the energy drink, it says replaces ATP. And then I got studying about this and found out what ATP was. I didn't know what ATP was. But ATP is just energy. And breathing facilitates the ability to utilize food and drink. breathing is our body's combustion system. Your body is amazing. It is a combustion system. And I was sitting there studying that, and the furnace came on. Furnace came on, whoom, you know, and the fire comes on, and you know, you can't have fire without, you got to have oxygen. You got to have oxygen, and it's a combustion system. Our bodies have a built-in combustion system, but praise God, here's the blessing, no fire. It's no fire. It is a fireless combustion system. But we all have heard the phrase, burn calories. You eat something and you burn calories, you are literally, your body is burning calories. You are breathing, and that breathing is making it to where your body can take food and turn it into energy, and it does it all the time when you're sleeping, before you eat, after you eat, while you're eating. It's just amazing to think about what breathing does. Now, the firmament is God's atmosphere that He has put us in, and our firmament is actually layered. Now, I'm going to give you quickly just a little lesson about the layers in the firmament. First of all, there is what's called the exosphere. The exosphere, that is the farthest away from the earth. And the exosphere is 440 miles above the earth, and it extends all the way halfway to the moon. That's the very top layer of the firmament which God created and put around this earth. The elements are all there. What I was talking about, the nitrogen, the oxygen, all the other things, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and all the other little things that I mentioned. But way out there, they are so far apart that a single oxygen molecule could travel for hundreds of miles before it met another oxygen molecule. That's why you can't breathe in outer space in the top of our firmament. You can't breathe there because it's not condensed enough. These things are not close enough together. And we all know this, the higher you go, the thinner the air gets. You go up on Mount Everest, people can barely breathe. They have to carry oxygen up there to breathe sometimes. You get much higher than that and you wouldn't be able to breathe at all. There's not enough oxygen up there. There's not enough. The air is too thin. That's the exosphere. Then the next layer is the thermosphere. Now, it's from 50 miles above us to 440 miles above the earth. That is the thermosphere. That is where the International Space Station is, that orbits Earth all the time, and satellites. That's where all these satellites are. There's hundreds and hundreds, your phone, your GPS. That's where all the satellites are, is in that layer of the firmament. Now, the air there is still very rare. But a molecule of oxygen in that layer, it might travel, instead of hundreds of miles, it might go a mile before it ran into one more molecule of oxygen. So it's there, but it's still very, very rare. Then there's the mesosphere, and it's 31 to 50 miles above us. That's where most meteors burn up when they enter our atmosphere. And that happens all the time. Meteors fall from outer space. They burn up in the mesosphere. Now, the temperature there, you think it's cold here tonight. If we could go 31 miles above the earth, we would find that it is between 120 and 150 minus or below zero. So it's really cold there. And the higher you go, the colder it gets. That's in the mesosphere. Then under that, there's the stratosphere. Some of these I've heard of that before. Some of the others I'd never heard of. But the stratosphere is from 7 miles to 31 miles up, and it's a lot warmer in the stratosphere. Why? It's only minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit in the stratosphere. So it's still pretty cold up there. And that is the layer, if we were to go to the Arctic Circle, the highest clouds that there are, they're called polar stratospheric clouds. You see them every once in a while from Alaska and Iceland and places like that in the stratosphere. Then where we are is called the troposphere. And it's from ground to 7 miles up in the air. And in the troposphere, there's something unique about it. It's warmest near the bottom, and it's colder the higher that it gets. We realize that most places that are sea level are warm, and then you go up in the mountains. I know there's some variation there, and we know if you go up on Grandfather Mountain, it's colder up there most of the time than it is down here. And so in our troposphere, it's warmer at the bottom, and the higher you go, the colder it gets. Now, that creates something called vertical mixing. And what it does, vertical mixing, it takes the air, the oxygen, the nitrogen, and all these other things, and it mixes it all the time, stirs it up all the time. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, just take a deep breath tonight. You know what God is doing all the time that you and I don't even think about it? He is mixing the air, the firmament. And so you and I receive four parts nitrogen, one part oxygen. We can breathe. That is so unique. There's nowhere else in the whole universe and all the galaxies and all the places and in all of outer space that is like Earth. God made Earth for us to live on. God makes it so we can breathe, so that we can enjoy this world that He's given unto us. Now, the lesson is really very simple. I'm just trying to share some of the handiwork part of it tonight. But as far as we're talking about our health, I would just say, get outside and get some fresh air. It's good for you. It's good for you. Now, I know how some of you mamas are. And you tell, you know, Chloe, she wants to go outside. She don't realize it's 5 degrees outside. But Kim let her go outside today. But a lot of times we think, don't go outside, you'll get sick. When actually probably staying inside is why people get sick as much, because you need fresh air. We get recycled in buildings and we live with it, but you need fresh air. God's provided that. There's a lot of things about our firmament that we just take for granted. I've already mentioned there's the ozone. If it wasn't for the ozone, you would be burned up from the radiation from the sun. Our atmosphere is what makes the sky blue during the middle of the day and makes it red in the evening. It's the way the atmosphere stretches out. I'm not going to try to explain all that tonight, but I'm just saying, boy, God sure is smart. God sure did make a beautiful world to live in. And the atmosphere makes it that we see the sky blue. And then in the evening as it thins out, you've got the reds and the oranges and all the different hues. And it makes a beautiful world to live in. It allows for combustion. I've already said that. You couldn't have fire. You couldn't have heat if it wasn't for the air that we have. You can't start a fire on the moon. But you can upon the earth. The atmosphere is what makes it possible for you and I to hear something and to be able to discern if it's very close or very far away. These are just some things I learned about the firmament. God put Adam in, and boy, put him in a, when he got done, he said, it's good. It's good. All these things are good. It was all prepared, and it was all ready when the Lord breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. God made it self-sustaining. I don't worry too much about, when you really study about how God made things. I'm not worried about cattle out in the field. You know, that's something the environmentalists would like to get rid of. They say the cows, because they let off methane gas, cows and pigs are going to burn up the ozone. I don't think that's what's going to burn up the ozone layer. I'm not worried about that. I think the Lord's smarter than that. And God knew we'd like bacon and hamburgers and need a lot of it to feed this world. God knew all that stuff. And so the Lord made it self-sustaining. Look over in Ecclesiastes. I'll be done in just a minute. I want to point out something in Ecclesiastes. The Bible is not a science book, but everywhere it says anything about science, it's right. It's spot on. It's not a geography book, but if it says anything about geography, it's right. Isaiah said, "It is he that setteth upon the circle of the earth," thousands of years before man realized that the earth wasn't flat, it was round. God already said the earth is a circle, and it is. Let's see. The book of Ecclesiastes, let me find it. I'm just aimlessly thumbing through here. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4, describes what scientists call the hydrological cycle. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever." The earth abideth forever. I don't think the cows or the cars are going to destroy the earth. God said the earth abides forever. As long as God says it's going to be here, it's going to be here. And when the earth is destroyed, it's going to be the Lord that does it. But he's got a remodel in mind. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. "So one generation passeth away, another one cometh. The earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again according to his circuits." Now, I'm not going to go into all this, but all this is scientifically provable. That is the way it is. The sun, the circuits, the wind, the circuit of the wind. Verse number 7, "All the rivers run into the sea." Did you know that? They sure do. All the rivers run into the sea. "Yet the sea is not full." How is that? Boy, Solomon, he was a thinker. All the rivers run the sea, but the sea's not full. You'd think it'd get full after a while, wouldn't you? But it does not get full. "All the rivers run in the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." How's that, preacher? Evaporation. That's the hydrological cycle. That's why the sea is not full. Because evaporation happens and the water goes up in the sky, into the clouds. The wind blows that it was just talking about, blows it over the land. It rains, rain comes down on the ground, goes in the streams, goes in the rivers, goes into the sea. Boy, isn't God smart. He knew all that before Channel 9 figured out what was going on. I mean, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He made this earth. He put man on it. He said, "Live!" Praise the Lord, Adam lived. And all of these generations after him been breathing that air. And somehow God keeps it all fresh, doesn't he? And we don't even think anything about it, but God put us on this earth to live and to enjoy life, and we ought to enjoy it. The Lord knows what he's doing. But I do believe we ought to be good stewards of the earth. And I do believe man is his own worst enemy. He tries to do things and be God and act like God, and he needs to keep his hands off of things. We need to take good care of what God's given to us, and we certainly do not need to abuse what the Lord has given unto us. So we close tonight. I'll say this. What's that mean? How's that going to help her health? Well, just get out and enjoy some fresh air and enjoy this great planet God's given us. He meant for it to be that way. And so that's the lesson tonight. I get a blessing out of just seeing the handiwork of God. I've thought about that, studied about that. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. So God's good.